So Tavyas says in disappearance, due to some confusion, appearance and disappearance come around the same time of year. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a revolutionary preacher of Krishna consciousness. Revolution means coming to the real point, revolution, coming back to the right point, from which there has been deviation. After the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya was going on, but there are many deviations. Even in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita some wrong ideas were being propagated. And just after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur has recorded in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, there were so many wrong ideas propagated in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that there were so many wrong groups or upper sampradayas formed that the actual teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became covered over by the cloud of wrong ideas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially came to establish what is the actual path of Krishna Bhakti, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, which means following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for which he was criticized by those who considered themselves to be the traditional followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who thought they had the hereditary right, for example, to initiate others in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established everything. So many points he established that guru is not by caste. There's no caste of gurus, just like there's a Baba caste, fighting caste. There's a potter, caste of potters, caste of vaidyas or doctors, and a caste of gurus according to birth. He established the reality that one who has got it, who has received that knowledge in the parampara, he can give it. There's no bar according to caste or birth. It's not that someone simply by birthright can become a guru, nor that anyone is banned from being a guru due to birth. But these wrong ideas were going on. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he fought against this. You may have seen that book that's been translated into English now, Brahmana and Vaishnava, in which he established these points. That actually, it's right there in the Bhagavatam. These points are there. Ahobata svapachato gariyam yajjiva agrivatate namatubhyam tepus tapaste juhu sastaraya brahmanucham nama ginantiyete. That Devahuti says that how glorious are those, even if they're born in the families of dog eaters, who are always chanting your holy names. They're competent to perform Vedic sacrifices because just by chanting they've already crossed over all other stepping stone practices, such as studying all the Vedas, bathing in holy places, and so on. Now, of course, there is the verse in Hari Bhakti Vilas that states one of the qualities of a guru. It says, Satkul, Mahabhagavato Sreshta, Satkul. He should be, guru should be best, topmost devotee who's from a Satkul, which means from a proper family. That's the general understanding of kul. Although kul doesn't necessarily mean family, it can also mean group or category. doesn't necessarily mean family. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he did this verse, but for the whole Hari Bhakti Vilas, that it was compiled with the Smartavad in mind, that at that time the Smarta, or those who consider themselves to be proper followers of the Vaishnav Smriti, the rules and regulations of the Smriti, they were very much prominent. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami compiled this Hari Bhakti Vilas with some concession to them, to the Smarta community, who are very much fixed on the point that you can only be a Brahmana by birth, a Hindu by birth. Everything is, according to them, everything is fixed by birth, which is not at all the Vedic conclusion. It was neither practiced previously in Vedic society, as we see very clearly from the Shastra, that Satyakama, the son of a prostitute, was accepted by Jabali as a disciple. Disciple means invested. Disciple in the Vedic system means invested with the sacred thread. Even though he was from such a fallen background, because he had the quality of a Brahmana. And there are so many examples that among the 100 sons of Rishabdev, who were superficially, the first 9 then became the Navayogendras, or the Brahmanas. They can open the door and let him in. Version of Bhagavatam also, yasya yal lakshanam proktam punso vana vivyam jikam yaranyat tripa trisheta tatte naiva vinya dishet. Narad Muni says that if one finds the characteristics of a certain caste within a certain, even if they're not born in that particular caste, they should be accepted as part of that caste according to their qualities, according to their lakshana, their characteristics. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established all these points, but naturally he had to come up against much opposition, because there was vested interest. Do you know what that means, vested interest? Vested interest means when someone has a... he's interested in upholding a certain status quo or establishing a certain principle, not just because of the principle itself, but because he has something personally to gain from it. You see, just like someone may say that, well, I believe in tax reductions for the rich. And he may argue that this will free more money, the rich people can invest it and improve the economy, and it will all around benefit everybody. So he's arguing from a very Platonic platform, from a high philosophical platform, but the fact is that he himself is rich and he doesn't want to pay so much taxes. So that's an example of vested interest. So similarly, the guru caste had a vested interest in preserving the old system that was going on. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to establish what is the actual fact, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, who had come to widely distribute love of God, he brought the ocean of love of God, but they had stuck it in a bottle and put the lid on. No one, we shall keep it ourselves. Well, they themselves didn't have it. Because that is the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. If it's not given to others, then it doesn't stay with you either. You lose it. You have to give it to others. And give it means without any personal motivation. As soon as there's personal motivation, then everything is spoiled. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had to fight. As Prabhupada notes in the Nectar of Devotion, the fight came out successfully, and now it is well established that anyone from any caste can become a guru and can become a Vaishnava, can become fully accepted as a Vaishnava. We'll find that even now, often these gurus, they're from Brahmin families, and they accept people as disciples. They'll accept their monetary contribution, but they won't take food cooked by them. because they think, you see, they're not Brahmins. Then what's the meaning of giving initiation if you can't purify them? If you don't, if you consider they're not pure, they're not purified, then you're thinking that birth is a more important factor than Krishna bhakti. It's a completely materialistic outlook. I've seen also these Gauriya Mart gurus, they're like that also. If they're from a Brahmin family, they won't, not all of them, but they won't accept food from disciples who are not born in a Brahmin family. Or even some of them are going to the West now, but they'll take their own disciple from India to cook for them. They won't take food. It's a very materialistic outlook. They don't consider them actually purified. Then why are you initiating them? What's the value of your initiation if they can't become purified? So there was a fight, and more or less the fight has come out successful, but there are still people who say that actually this is all is not proper, and they like to analyze the scriptures and considering themselves great scholars. I just got a letter from one of my disciples saying that I read something by Satyanarayan, and now I'm confused. And the first thing, why do you want to read that rascal's things anyway? Especially I send out on common all my disciples, don't read all these, don't read anything without my permission, because you read all these nonsense things and then I have to, you know, you get your brain all screwed up and then I have to try and straighten it out again. Why? There's so many nonsense things in the world. Why should you read all these things? You should. Actually, that's the standard anyway. Disciples shouldn't read anything without the permission of his guru. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict. Mayavad avasya shunle hoi sarvanash. If you listen to Mayavad, your spiritual life is spoiled. These, all these Rasa Shastras also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that they weren't, when he was present in the Gauriya Math, then no one saw them, no one heard of them, no one discussed them. It was not that everyone could just pick up anything and read it, and he was very particular. He emphasized, you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read these books. Not that you start reading so many different intimate leelas. So anyway, this Satyanarayana, what he's saying is not a bona fide parampara, not bona fide diksha. Considers himself a very great scholar. And why people should take him so seriously? You think he's a better scholar than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? Who defeated all the scholars? You think he's a greater devotee? And how many people has he brought to Krishna consciousness? Where is his power, his shakti? You read, he became a little bit of a Sanskrit scholar, even not a very great scholar. I know so many scholars, so much greater than him. So many scholars much better than him who accept ISKCON as a bona fide sampradaya. And are very praising, they praise it very much, but he is, you know, he's such a great scholar, and he has found out the defects, the philosophical defects. So actually, it's simply rascaldom. I mean, the man, he was from a Brahmin family, but he went to America to become the paid servant of beef eaters and drunkards. And by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, expressed through ISKCON, he was saved from such a life. He joined ISKCON and he went back to India. He studied Sanskrit, living in ISKCON temple so many years, living in Prabhupada's temples. And then when he thought he was a competent enough scholar, he went outside and he said, this is all, ISKCON is completely bogus. It's not a bona fide sampradaya. I mean, I don't know what the destination of such a person is. His life is saved. He got the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, not because of his Brahmin background. By his Brahmin background, he already lost that. I don't know what he was doing in America himself personally, but he was working as a paid servant of beef eaters and drunkards. That's what he was doing. He was fallen. And then spending so many years in ISKCON temples, and then his conclusion is, even when he was inside, he was criticizing. So I don't know what the destination will be of such a person. On the other hand, if you think he's such a great scholar, then, I mean, there are so many greater scholars, then why don't you read, the Mayavadis, they're great scholars. Why don't you read their books? Why don't you become a Mayavadi? They can, I'm sure that if he had a debate with them, they'd defeat him upside down, inside out. So, why don't you just become, if you think scholarship is the, just by study and be, you can conjugate a few verbs in Sanskrit, you become qualified to say that great acharyas, they're completely bogus. Then according to him, Madhva, Ramanuja, they're all bogus too. What do they know? It's, they're very, very offensive. And people read this thing and they say, oh, you see, they've criticized. Oh, seems like they have no knowledge. And they're reading this and they think, sounds very bona fide. And then they don't see that Bhakti Sanskrit, how he preached. He already defeated all these people. And then how Prabhupada preached all over the world. What was he doing? Prabhupada was in Maya. That's what they're saying. Prabhupada was in Maya preaching all over. He hasn't spread Krishna consciousness. It's not actual. If you actually want Krishna consciousness, you have to go and find this miserable wretch, Satyanarayan. Search him out somewhere and listen to him. Or go to some Radhakund Babaji or something like this. Who have no idea about preaching Krishna consciousness. So, of course, if you want to, it's like Mayavad, you know, if you want to get into all the, you can go splitting hairs, you know, that means a very fine point. They'll say, you see, according to the understanding of this verse, and you have to understand this is declined in the seventh case, and so it doesn't actually mean this, it means that, and so many hair splitting arguments. But what are these, if they're actually Krishna conscious, what are the symptoms? They're sitting in some room reading some books. Is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? And criticizing the acharya of the whole world who practically demonstrated the qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his intense compassion to go and risk everything to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. And now we have so many big scholars and so-called great devotees criticizing Prabhupada in this way and that, but none of them would have anyone to speak to if it wasn't for Prabhupada. They're saying, well, actually your Swamiji, he didn't really understand. If he didn't understand, then why are you speaking to these people at all? How do you get the opportunity to speak to them? If he's not favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then how is he able to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? But they'll say that, well, that's just my... He spread, just let something like Yogi Mahesh or something like that. And they'll put Prabhupada in the same category. So these people are actually extremely offensive. And we shouldn't have anything to do with them, but if you want, you can. It's a big world. You're free to do whatever you like, but I don't know what the destination of people is who they come to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of these great acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and then they think they have a better idea. They've become more intelligent. And they want to reinterpret or misinterpret or say that Prabhupada, he didn't know what he was talking about. So, Hare Krishna, let us live a life of dedication to the acharyas who have saved us. Let us not be ingrates. We should be grateful to those who have saved us. And realistically speaking also, it's not simply our dogmatism that we're attached to Prabhupada and his sampradaya. But we can practically see that what is, how they're favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For that matter, if you want to be such a great scholar and analyze everything, then why accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's only by the mercy. Definitely there are Vedic statements accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But you won't directly find in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And even the Vedic references, they're somewhat obscure. So why accept if you want to take everything just on plain scholarship alone? But then scholarship won't give you everything, and not everything is revealed. directly in the Vedas. Why accept Krishna? There are so many great scholars who don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Of course, we can give them a scholarly reply. And we can give a scholarly reply about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can give a scholar, just like they say that, oh, Prabhupada made a mistake when he said the jiva falls from Vaikuntha. But we can reply also. If you want, we have replies, giving quotes from, so many quotes from Shastra and from our acharyas. If you want, you can get into this world of accusation, counter-accusation. We can argue. Then why spend all your time doing that? Better that we accept the version of our acharyas. If we think our acharya is a fool, then we're a fool. That's for sure. Even if we have a big degree, PhD, learned in Sanskrit, if you become an offender to the acharyas, then when you go to Yamaraj, you can, you know, argue. Yamaraj says, well, this is your punishment, and you can pull out the Shastra and say, well, according to my interpretation, I shouldn't be punished, but that won't help you. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this or comments?
How can we practically go against this critics and all these things from us?
I don't know if we should bother so much. Just like this Satyanarayan, this Narasingha, B.G. Narasingha wrote a whole book against him. The book was full of inconsistencies itself. One of his main arguments was that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati rejected Bipin Bihari Goswami, but it was all, you know, the story he made up is completely mythical. He got some facts mixed up. So, but my point is, why should you write such a big book anyway? Because no one cared for Satyanarayan. No one was taking him seriously. Hardly. But he brought him into prominence by making a big whole writing of, not that much prominence, not so many people read his book. So why give them so much importance?
What you say, because personally myself, we went to this Vrindavan Parikram. There are so many rumors, you know, and then actually practically you cannot stay in Vrindavan because so many.
I don't like to go there because there's just a prajalpa box.
Yeah.
That's all. Everyone's got their own theory. Everyone's sitting around in the restaurant drinking lassis and talking about all these different theories.
And these people are coming, you know, getting from Slovenia, for example, some material devotees. They took initiation from this Samrata Kumbhavali. They came in the Krishna Bhavan Mandir and they started, you know, to...
Why should you take it? Why should you take them seriously? What do they know? They'll take initiation from Radha Kund Babaji, then they'll go back to Slovenia and watch TV and everything else. And no sadhana, getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning if they have to go to work, otherwise 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Why should you take such people seriously at all? Anyone who takes initiation from Radha Kund Babaji means they're not serious anyway. You can't take people very seriously. Not interested in service or surrender.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cheap thing. They see them for the first time in their life and they take a so-called initiation.
But they're selling his books.
That's it. Well, it's insane. What can I say? Simple. Whose books?
From this single marriage, from myself.
It's crazy.
And actually there, some Pujaris are his disciples, disciples of Narayana
Maharaj,
so actually it's...
When ISKCON Vrindavan is a crazy house, madhouse.
Our conclusion was also not better to go.
I think most sannyasis, is going to say when they come to Vrindavan, they don't even, they might just go in and take darshan, and that's about it. It's a madhouse.
Why is it printed?
Well, Ishva, you know, he's got a big body, it needs a lot of food, and he's got a wife who's also, you know. He's also, I mean, Dinabandhu is a very wonderful devotee, but, you know, he's very liberal, you can say. He mixes up with everybody and anybody. He may have not have known also, because it's very deceptive. They put the name Vrindavan Das Thakur. It's deliberately meant to mislead people. Probably Ishva was misled also, but once it was printed, you know, he's invested so much money in the printing and he's selling it at about 200% profit. So, you know, vested interest. Because I was discussing with him in public on com, you know, how can you show this book's bona fide? It's highly suspicious. And he was, you know, he was very upset. But why was he upset? Because he invested a lot of money in it. Otherwise, if he hadn't, well, then why should he be so attached to it? There's so many bogus things. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
About taking food by the Guru. For example, we are not so much advanced, but still sometimes we have to go in the people's house, take grains, or in Sankirtan, touching our feet. Mm-hmm. How can we deal with these things?
Yeah, well, that's preacher's austerity. In the West, you're more likely to get someone punch you in the face than touch your feet. Although neither happened very often. But it's probably more likely to get a punch in the face than have someone touch your feet. Well, that's part of your preacher's duty. So you do that as a service. Taking grains in different people's houses, I don't recommend you do it very often. You should be careful where you do so also. Prabhupada said that the devotees, they're preaching the whole year and then some contamination may be there from meeting so many materialistic people. So they should come once a year to Mayapur and dance and chant with all the devotees and bathe in the Ganga and become refreshed and go back again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai.
His name is Bhakti Prasanna ki jai.